The Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, Ken, and Rob.
Welcome. Episode number 23. Holy crap, you guys were giving me trash or shit. You're giving me shit because I didn't remember what episode it was. Welcome to episode number 23. Because you guys helped me. Thank you. Of Better on Draft. I am one of your hosts, Dan. Again, running this thing. Hopefully a little bit better. I was really drunk last week when I got here. But we're just going to move on from that. I'm not going to let you guys comment or I'll turn your mics off right now.
Damn it.
Got a few guests in here tonight. Rob, how are you doing tonight? Newest member officially now.
Officially in the intro. That's what I'm
talking
about.
Would it take us 6-7 weeks? You've been here a while. Was it? No, maybe I'm exaggerating.
I think that's probably like the proper vetting period, you know, before.
We had to make sure he lasts more than 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, exactly. We had one before and it didn't work in any way.
That's fair.
Failed miserably. The last one that was here. We can talk about that all day. What are you drinking over there, sir?
Earlier before we started, I was taking a sip of the Stone Woot Stout. I have now moved on thanks to my trip to Grand Rapids yesterday. I have Jaden James Brewery's Peanut Butter Stout.
There you go. Share a little bit of that later. It sounds kind of good.
I mean, this is a really big-ass bottle. I'm not taking
You got a 64-ounce growler over there. I'm like, oh,
I have a growler.
Try a little bit of that.
Yes, there's definitely enough to share.
Good stuff. Nick, what's going on, buddy? You're looking at your computer over there.
Yeah, I'm clearing out my email.
Oh, I figured you were watching. Are you watching my Hots games earlier?
No, I'm not. I
did pretty good. You guys should check that out. I'm surprised you.
Do you have a Twitch channel?
No.
Are you a Twitch streamer?
No, actually, I'm not. But I am pretty high in the Hero League if you guys ever want to kind of watch. This isn't a video game show. This isn't, what's the video game show on this? Who gives a crap?
That's downstairs.
Who gives a shit? What?
No.
Who gives a shit?
But, Nick, what are you drinking?
Oddsite Ales Beer Hito.
Oh, you know what? I do want to try that as well. Yeah. Apparently, I want to try everybody's
beer. You want to try everyone's beer.
I didn't even mention what I'm drinking, and it's someone else's beer. So it's a running theme here. I want everything else.
Nice.
And our other host, Ken.
Let's
go. I left you. You never go last.
I never go because usually I'm first.
That's true.
I'm usually the one introducing the show. This is still like unknown territory for me over here being
used to it. We got to get used to it. It's going to take me 8 weeks to get used to doing this before you're not here for one. For one night.
We're prepping you for that one week in June that I'm not going to be here. I'm drinking the Woot Stout as well. Very, very good, very delicious, very smooth for a beer of this ABV, that's for sure.
Oh, what's this ABV?
I think it's like 13.5.
And you let me pour myself another glass. I don't even know what we're doing now.
You know what? It's only 13, so you're okay.
This is from Stone? I didn't even like.
Yeah, it's from Stone.
Not typical Stone beer.
It isn't.
Kind of surprised.
No, it was compliments of Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
It's the Will.
Speaking of, we do have a couple of guests here today. Jeff, welcome to the show.
How's
glad
it
to
going?
Have you over. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing over there?
Well, what I'm doing right now is actually going to betterondraft.com.
Oh, you know, take full responsibility. That webpage is out of date, so I don't know what you're doing out there.
I don't know. I was going to go to How to Listen and then like try don't to create some feedback.
No, let's not do that.
No, I'm drinking a Rip It energy drink.
Oh,
which,
interesting.
I can't
I love that beer.
Recommend that beer
lives
to anyone.
On rippage.
Yeah, it's got a lot of energy. And then I'm drinking, I think it's a strawberry blonde concept
from
Vampire Bunny. Yeah, from Falling Down. I've never had it before. So.
What do you think about it?
It's interesting, but see, my problem is I'm drinking Rip It right next to it. So. I feel like it's not going to give it justice if I'm already messing it up.
Let's mix them together. See what happens.
Actually, you know, I did that once with the beer. I actually took like this, you know, those powder things that you add to water.
Yeah.
I did that with like a Bud Light or something.
Oh, gosh.
Trying to make like a strawberry.
Seriously. Okay, so it also had caffeine. So I was like, hey, I just made Four Loko.
Well, it's funny. You know, I have an interesting story from way back in the day. I don't know how old you are, but there used to be this stuff called Shredder. It was a kind of workout post-energy or pre-energy or pre-workout energy drink. Me and someone you guys know were mixing it with vodka.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was not a good turnout at the end of the night. I'll just leave it at that.
That's not just like an upper and downer. That's like a super upper and downer.
Yeah, it was bad news. It ended up with like people getting hit in the head with a bottle and stuff. And
oh, God.
Stuff like that. Yeah, good times. We do have another guest here. And I apologize, I do forget your name.
It's all good. My name is Kuma.
Kuma, nice to have you here. Where are you from?
I am from, well, where do I live or where do I?
What do you do?
What do you do?
Why do we have you here tonight?
What would you say
you do here?
I live in Ypsilanti, but I work at Glasshouse Brewing Company. We're in Ann Arbor, and we haven't opened yet, but we're on our way. We're actually
on your way.
Getting pretty close. Not an exact date, but a date-ish will be end of April.
End of April.
Coming up
end of
April. Quick.
Hey.
Awesome.
So what is your guys, what are you guys brewing there? Like what's your going to be your starting lineup?
Our starting lineup, we're starting with six beers. Let's see, what do we have? We're going to start with an English bitter.
Ooh, I'm there. I'll be English number one in line.
So that's
out of a cask?
No, we're not going to do a cask. No, because that's just...
All right, I'll be like number 20 in line.
There you go. See? As of right now, our parking lot is so small, too, that you might be the last person in line. Like, we still have to figure that out exactly how we're going to fit more people in the parking lot. But the English bitter is just kind of like the easygoing option, just something for, you know, people... For people who don't usually drink beer, it's a easily approachable, low ABV, light. But then also for those who do enjoy an English bitter,
oh yeah,
you know, it'll be available. And then I've got a Saison planned.
All right. Let's take some work.
Yeah, and I'm hoping I do it right because I'm trying to do a lot with it. Maybe not a lot, but I guess I'm going to make it with rye and wheat. So I'm looking forward to a delightfully sticky mash. and then... I'm going to add grains of paradise and lemongrass.
It's going to be a good. It sounds good already. I'm excited.
We'll see. We'll see.
We're
going
to have to take a trip out. Where are you in downtown Ypsilanti or where did you say you're at?
We are Liberty and Stadium in Ann Arbor. So we're actually on the west side.
Oh, Ann Arbor. My apologies. Okay. No, I love Ann Arbor. The whole area is pretty close, but. Well, I shouldn't say I love Ann Arbor, but I love Necto in Ann Arbor.
There you go.
I haven't been there in years.
Wow. You know, that's the first place I ever threw up from drinking at. Was at Necto in Ann Arbor.
So it holds a very special dear place in
your
heart.
And it's still fun. I mean,
you can actually still see the throw up stain.
No, that was on someone's carpet at their apartment. That was where I did that.
Oh, man.
But I didn't say that I did it. We just laughed.
Well, now they'll know.
No, they knew. They knew the next day.
Okay, someone broke into their house and just like threw up
and then left. Yeah.
I'm done here.
That's
how the
story
goes. Throw up and I'm gone.
So we do have a lot of news going on. Do we want to touch on news first? What do we want
to
do?
Yeah, we could touch on some news.
I want to touch on some news that's going to be a touchy situation for everyone. Excuse me.
Oh, geez.
Goose Island sells brew pub to AB InBev.
So this is a little older. In regards to Goose Island, the whole thing was that we're going to sell the entire brewery. Goose Island sells it to ABI InBev, except for the brew pub in Wrigleyville. That was the only thing that wasn't sold. Yep. So that was like still Goose, even though ABI InBev was still making Goose Island beers, Goose Island at Wrigleyville was still owned by Goose Island, and they finally just sold out, which
cashed in their last chips.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's fine by me.
I'm sure they made the other billion off of selling the rest of it. I mean, much more.
Well, I mean, Goose Island's head brewer left when ABI came in. So what's the at that point, you're just like, OK, what do we do now? Because, you know, you still have your beers. It's what's the point of even
have the recipes changed?
I don't think so.
So yeah, what was the background? I didn't read the article. I just saw this in here. I thought it was a touchy situation. What's the point of holding on to that brew pub? What the recipes didn't change, did they? They didn't make any changes?
I think because in regards to the fact that, one, they are in downtown Wrigleyville, like the actual Wrigleyville drinking area.
Yeah, high traffic, high kind of area.
So it's not like it's the, you know, where the actual brewery is. So it's going to be, again, high traffic, high volume. You're still going to be able to turn profit there without any issues. So I think – when they did, you know, when ABI InBev came in, this might have been their counter offer. Like, you know, hey, we still want to run part of the business, but you can run everything else. And
just trying to stay in the game, or
I don't know. I
mean, part of the reason was is that they this is not the first attempt that AB InBev tried to go for the brew pub. It was previous was in 2011, and I guess how Illinois state law at the time worked, it kind of prevented them from making the purchase. And I guess the owner at the time, the guy who had the last remaining stake of it, didn't really have a lot of interest at the time, at least. But it goes back to saying, like, okay, you sold everything you had about Goose Island. Why didn't you just sell the last?
You sold 95%.
You sold 99.99%. Why didn't you get rid of the last 0.1%?
Like, you got a payday off of that.
Yeah, oh, I mean, oh, yeah.
Gosh, yeah.
Easily.
Retire from that kind of money. That, big name in that's the fuck you industry. Money.
Yeah. What are you doing? Are you, it is. Is that the gambler? Is that what that's that is? Yeah. I was like, did I recognize that quote? I'm like, yes, fuck you. That's a great movie.
It's a great definitely.
So, so this happened John back Goodman's in one of his best roles. This happened back in mid-February, and the deal was expected to close within the next 2 months from then. So I would think that it's either taking place now, the closing on the deal, or it's bound to happen fairly in probably the next 30 days or so.
Yeah, we definitely are more, not necessarily along the same lines between the four of us as the host itself, and I'll get your guys' opinion. Kuma and Jeff, but we're definitely more free market dictates price as opposed to, retail suggested price, whatever, the market dictates is what you can sell at, and you have the ability to choose with your wallet. So in regards to Goose Island, they have the right to sell whatever they made because somebody else found it profitable. Now, you being in a brewery, obviously – a lot of people consider that their baby. These are your beers, your batches, your recipes.
Yep.
But, sitting here right now, do you understand or do you agree or disagree with the fact that, pretty much as the $1 million man says, everyone's got a price?
I guess that's true. I don't know. I personally side more with the brewers who are like, I started this to make a business out of a community, I'm not in this just to make the money. I'm in this to make beer that's going to bring people in, and we're going to get regulars, and we're going to have a good time all together. It's not just about like the dollar. Like I, for example, Shorts recently, Joe Short put out a handwritten letter on social media saying we're going to start distributing to other states. And it seemed like a silly thing because it was just like, okay, just fucking do it. I feel like he must have felt a lot of he needed to uphold his integrity behind it because he's been saying forever, like, I'm just making beer for Michigan.
Would you say Michigan only, Michigan forever was their mantra?
I would say so.
You mean like on the box?
Right in front of
exactly,
us.
Exactly, right? Right on the box. Literally right here on the bottom of this
As we do have a box of Salt Parade sitting here that has the mantra right on it.
Well, I mean, did we touch on, sorry to cut you off. Shorts when Shorts decided to increase distribution?
We did, but now since then.
I made fun of the handwritten one because he doesn't have a word processor from 1989 or something. It's like
he tried with a typewriter, but it kept failing. He kept getting sick of white standing up on him.
Right. So we did touch base on it a little bit. I believe since then they have since revised their distribution to include more than the one with the first announcement was, I think.
Well, I think they went into 5 new states.
I think so, yes.
So it's one of those things to where You know what? I do remember talking about it because I think Bob might have been here, and I remember us talking about market share and how
the market's gotten so,
I guess you could say, so crowded in the state of Michigan that you have to.
Yep.
If you're concentrating on distribution, because Bel Air is not really a destination place. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Really is.
So in regards to Shorts Beer, they need to keep up with demand, and obviously they're losing market share for every single new brewery that opens, whether it's, you've got Glass House coming in, you've got
North Center.
Yeah. You've got all these new breweries. Roke.
Right. How many beers do they make at one time? Like, how do you get all those beers on shelves somewhere? I mean, it's almost like they make too much.
It's, yeah, you know.
You have to expand because you don't have anywhere to put it.
Let's look, you know, talk to Jeff real quick. Obviously, your old job, you did have distribution.
Oh, yeah.
How did you manage? Because you guys had a decent amount of different drinks that you distributed out across the entire world, not just Michigan.
Yeah.
What was your old job?
I was at B-Nectar Meadery, actually.
All right on.
Yeah. So I was a taproom guy. Anyone that came in, like, almost essentially in the last 3 years, they ran into me. And saw this lovely face.
It's beautiful.
And they still managed to come back.
Yeah, they still came back for more.
I know, they're like, amazing. Oh, that guy's still here.
God damn it.
Jesus. He's going to talk about his beard again, isn't he?
Is that your main conversation when you're you talk about? Is that actually, what always comes up?
It's never me that brings it up. I'm never someone like, oh yeah.
My, especially the women.
Really, like, you like my beard? Like,
the women are too like, oh my God, that beard. Like,
yeah, there's a lady that was, well, she drank a bit and.
Of course.
She
would get a meadery.
Like, yeah, she was like really telling me how much she loved me and my beard, and then she had to like tug on it and wanted a photo. And it's weird things like that. Like, there was a mead fest where I was walking back from the parking lot to the tap room, and this lady was like, hey, could my baby grab your beard? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding?
Yes, oh,
absolutely. Please do that. Because I just thought that was just awesome and absurd at the same time. I didn't know what to do.
And did you let him?
Yeah, I was like, so can I hold your baby? No, I didn't. I'm afraid of holding babies. That's a fear that I actually have.
Is distribution, though, a very complicated thing, especially dealing with different states, different laws, and, of course, different countries, too?
Well, yeah, from what I've always heard, because I wasn't in that department, but, you know, I hear a lot, obviously. And, yeah, there's different laws for different states. And, for instance, in New York, they were wanting to get the meads out there. And because we were under a honey wine law, they would only take the ciders.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And so, but now I guess I thought I heard that they're going to be fully in New York now. And that's the thing. It's like, yeah, so it's mead, but it's actually classified as a honey wine. Mm. And wow. Then there's a lot of confusion there with people are like, well, what? I thought it was a wine, and it's like, well, I mean, it isn't, but it is. But it's like, you know, by law it is. But in reality, no, it's a fermented honey beverage.
Well, like how a lot of people, you know, in regards to like Michigan law, like wine coolers are considered beer. In Michigan, like Smirnoff Ice is considered. Oh, yeah.
It's a malt beverage. Yeah.
It's a malt beverage. Yeah,
they make them different in Canada, actually. That goes back to the Mike's. It's actually made with vodka and lemonade if you cross the border.
Oh, really?
Yeah, versus here where it's a flavored malt. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Did you try it? I mean, you have to for science.
Well, yeah. I'm talking about back before I was even 21, we were crossing and drinking
Mike's. I'm almost interested in crossing the border and grabbing some and bringing it back and doing like a comparison between the two, just
it's worth it. I mean, I remember
they won't let you cross.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, they will.
Okay. I've crossed the border with them. They'll let us. They let me across.
You don't want me to go last time. I ended up in immigration.
Oh God! You know, I have a fun story. I had to go over there a couple of weeks. We're gonna not talk about it right now, but I have a fun story with immigration. Like the guy asked me questions like he's stupid. I'm like, all right, you're obviously doing this job. You're not a retard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you ask questions like? Oh, they have a casino in Windsor? No. No, they don't.
Do you not see this huge sign that says Caesars right above
your
head?
These are the kind of questions that were coming
through.
Maybe
they thought it was a salad factory.
Oh, yeah, good point.
As he's wearing his terrorist mask or whatever they wear, like the people that shoot up France wear.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, oh, there's a casino in Windsor? No. But I can't say that because I'll get arrested.
Sass back to me, son. You can go over there. Pull over.
That's where to make the croutons.
So that's a way to make an extra half hour on your trip easy.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Man, so, I want to go to the salad factory now.
Wait, what is this salad? Oh, is this like a prison joke? I don't know.
No, it's Caesar's.
Salad factory.
Where were you? Dan.
You're talking about trying to make a joke with the police officer and you can't get a stupid Caesar salad joke.
Like salad factory. I'm thinking tossing salad. I'm like,
oh my God.
In that case, I don't
want right. to. You know
factory.
What? I think we need to turn off Dan's mic.
Let's get back to beer. Let's get back to beer.
Speaking of beer, did you bring any two James for us? No, you didn't? All right, thanks.
I brought the other James. I brought Jaden James.
Oh,
so.
That's true.
There is still a James in the house.
It's a single James.
Yeah, it's just one James.
So,
one
like Rick James. James or no? Is that terrible?
Oh, jeez.
So, let's see. We got some other news.
So,
go ahead.
There was something that was tied. You know, we talked about the whole Paris thing. Now, you know.
Oh, is that where this
no,
where
no,
we're
no,
going?
No, this is actually. No, hold on. Give me a minute.
I know where he's going with it.
Give me a minute.
I know where he's going with it.
Now, we, you know, being that we're all the, we enjoy our beer, and we've seen, you know, we've talked about on the show, probably like in the very beginning, about how the craft beer community is a really, really close-knit of people, and they're always looking out to help people out, each other, other causes.
Unless you're part of that 2% elitist group.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about that because it's not a show about politics, thank God.
Oh, bull. You know,
we're not talking about it.
We would love to talk about it. We're just not going to do it. Don't even lie.
So there's a small Canadian brewer in
oh God, this is, I was going to bring this up if you didn't.
Yeah. So
how little is he? Is he really little?
Yeah. Apparently, it's in Ontario, and they're brewing a beer called Eagles of Death Metal, which is the band that played during that shooting.
That sounds like, oh, Lord, you stole my thunder.
Well, you know what? I just stole it. So they're making this beer. It's called Eagles of Death Metal.
No, I think that's who they're brewing it with.
Bringing it for? I don't think they have
I believe the name is Boots Electric.
Boots Electric?
Boots Electric IPA.
It's like Bootsy Collins IPA.
It's Ken's favorite, IPA.
Mmm, my favorite.
But The cool thing is that for every bottle sold, they're taking $1 of every sale and giving it to the foundation that the lead singer founded of this band, and giving it to the families of the victims of that event.
So they're actually doing something good.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before on the show about how
that was pretty much right when we first started our show.
Yeah, that happened like an hour before we came here.
A couple weeks, or was it a week that night, or a couple weeks after we started? It was in November, I think.
It was like that Friday night.
It was on a Friday night. But it just goes to show how good the craft beer community is good about stuff like that, and you don't really care a lot about that.
I think the community generally is good, and especially good to each other for the fact, you know, we're all sharing the common goal in regards to drinking beer, enjoying beer, and sharing our hobby. This is a hobby for all of us.
Right.
You know, it's a job for you right next to me.
But it's a hobby. You know. This is a way to hide a drinking problem as a hobby. Let's be real.
Exactly. what was it? I don't know if it was actually from Jimmy Fallon, but it was like the thank you notes from Jimmy Fallon. And he goes, thank you, craft beer industry, for creating or making my hobby look like – or making my drinking problem look like a hobby. There you go. So, yeah, you always see it. And, I mean, we've ran into plenty of those people who think they're, you know, like you'll get a good beer, or an actual good beer will show up, you know, oh, look what I just pulled on the shelf. But they won't say where they got it from or how much they spend because they don't want to tell anybody their secret. They want to keep it for themselves. Yeah, exactly. So that then they could use it for trade value later. Oh, I mean, you look at, you know, mead fests over at Bee Nectar and stuff, and people show up just to buy beer just to trade it later.
Yeah.
Like that was
the
soul.
All the time.
You know, like when I went to the – I think it was the Spring Mead Fest. It was a tiramisu release.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a good one.
So I went to the Spring Mead Fest, and, you know, everything's good to go. I'm happy. I'm drinking. And somebody messaged me. He's like, hey, can you pick up some meads for me? I'm like, well, sure, I'll try. So I waited for everyone to get theirs before I even walked in line.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I got the Sleeping with Giants, There Will Be Blood Orange, and some third meat. And I'm like, this is all you get because I ain't going to wait in line for 2 hours for you.
Yeah.
just to bring back a beer, you know, because you wouldn't do it for me. Yeah. I don't think it's for the fact that he wouldn't do it for me. It's for the fact that I just don't care.
Well, you know, lines in general. I don't like lines.
And, oh, you can talk to this guy right here. He's
I won't wait in line for
dude.
Beer.
That's the thing. It's like okay, so my buddy wanted Bourbon County Sour or something, and he was working, and I was like, all right, I'll try to go get you one. So I go to Plato's, which is a great bottle shop.
You were there at 6 a.m.
Well, no, and they're like, okay, well, we have it today, but we're releasing it. It was something like 7 o'clock at night. And I was like, well.
No, they did it like 6 a.m.
The Detroit one. I went to the Detroit one, and it basically it got there at 4. You got put on a list, and then at 6 o'clock was when they released it. So they just went down the list. You went just one person at a time, got up to the counter. You got to pick you got to get one regular, and you had your choice of barley wine or coffee.
Oh. Is the coffee one that got recalled?
Both
of
them got recalled.
Oh, both. Wait,
oh, yeah, both. That's right.
I missed out on this. What happened?
Somewhat recalled. They're not telling anybody to send it back. Just basically give them a call. Say, hey, I've got a bottle of the barley wine or the coffee that I've heard it might be, quote unquote, infected. They ask for, I guess, like the lot number, the stamp on the label. And basically they will give you your money back. First time I heard about it, they said they basically would give retail price.
Yep.
But lately I've been hearing from other people that they will actually pay you what you paid for it. I'm guessing like up to $20 per
bottle. I think there's probably a limit in regards to how much.
Yeah.
Man.
Something like that happened with one of the Bell's
Planet series.
Mercury.
Mercury. Got the glass from the bottle.
Yeah.
From the can.
Yeah, that was a production failure.
Yeah, I definitely drank mine.
Everyone drank it. No one cared. They're like, okay, well, it's beer and I bought it and I'm going to drink it.
Oh, now you drink glass.
Glass
you know
is what? Not going to stop me.
The glass cuts me. The beer is just going to disinfect it anyway.
There you go.
It's a smart way to look at it.
But yeah, so no, but you're mentioning.
Don't try that at home.
You went to 8 Degrees in Detroit. It was the Ferndale one that released at like 7 a.m. Because Ken was sending me a picture. I'm like, you better not be now. We've talked about that. I live like a football field away from 8 Degrees. I'm like, I swear to God, if you're sitting in that rain at 7 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, I'm going to go to winter. Smack you.
Maybe this was the one previous, but I went in there, it was like around 4, and I had to work like, I think 5. I had to go to the tap room, and I'm like, dude, I'm here buying beer. Like, I'm buying other things. I'm working. Like, I'm in the industry, man. I can't stand in a line at 7 o'clock. Whatever. That doesn't make me special, and I wasn't asking for any kind of favors. I still bought stuff, but he's like, you can give your receipt to your buddy, and he can stand. I'm like, wait, what? No. It's not. I'm not standing in a line. I'm glad that you guys are doing this business. You know, it's awesome you're getting the bottles, and you have a following. But I'm not going
to
be there.
Well, we looked at, you know, I went to the Autumn Solstice for, or not the Solstice, it was the Cherry Brune release over at Kunin.
Yeah.
And I had no intention of waiting in line. I was just like, I'll show up.
Story.
What's that?
This is a week one, episode one story.
Yeah. So, you know, it was basically waiting in line. And, you know, I wasn't planning on waiting in line. I was going to show up, get it, and leave. And, you know, a few people that I've met in regards to the groups that I'm in online were just like, hey, you know, we're drinking and bottle sharing in the line. I'm like, oh, what the hell? That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So I just went there and drank and went inside, grabbed my beer and left. So it was a little different than, you know, waiting in line at 7 in the morning for a Bourbon County release.
Yeah, it's just too much.
You know, I've shown pictures of, like, you know, when Holiday Market had their release or –
You know what, actually, the whole reason I haven't got one bottle is that Party Story at the corner of 696 and Hilton.
Paradise?
Get and go. Nope, not Paradise.
Okay.
Paradise is a little bit south of there. You had randomly said they had it there, and it happened to be right by there, so I turned in, got the last one. You just had it sitting on the counter.
Yeah.
I won't wait in line, though. I'm like you. Like, there were people, Vega Market, south of there, there were people waiting in the store for the truck to get there.
Oh, man.
Like, standing back.
It's not crack. No,
you can't do that. And there was no limit. So whoever was up front, they're like, I'm going to buy every bottle if I can. Oh, that's nice. So you screw the other people.
That is also another problem that a lot of places face is that, okay, so you have to set limits because otherwise there could be that one guy that comes in and cleans it out. And then he's going to do all trading. He's going to trade
it. Could be. It will.
It will happen. Yep.
Yeah.
Especially on that Black Friday, because I know a lot of people have it off, because usually day after Thanksgiving is a holiday for a lot of jobs.
Yeah, that's right.
So people will literally just show up, buy what they can, and then, you know, follow the truck to the next place.
Yep.
You know, they have no shame in it. And, you know, that's why, as we were talking last week, and we've talked before, that the craft beer fans are the biggest enemies of the craft beer industry.
Even John from Roke said that. Didn't he say people were coming in and say, I can make your recipe better.
Oh, yeah.
I can do this and that. And he gets annoyed by those people. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
has that happened before at BNX?
Actually, yeah. That was a common thing. Back when I was showing the production area, when the tap room was over at the other spot, there people would look around. They're like, oh, yeah, it doesn't seem too hard. I'm like, oh, okay, so are you about to go open your own meadery now? Because I guarantee you they put a lot of work into this. It is not fucking easy. Like, it's not just simple, you know. You don't just, like, put water and honey into a barrel and then it just turns into magical mead.
Magic.
Well, and then some of the people, they they really think that oh, yeah, it's so simple. But then you try people's homebrews, and you don't really want to tell them it's horrible. But, you know, some people just need a reality check.
Oh, yeah, that's why I don't homebrew.
Yeah, it's like
minus the fact I don't have any room. I would be my own overly like crazy critic because I would want to do a brown because that's what I drink.
Yeah,
and then I'd be like, oh, this sucks. And then I'll just go drink a Bel Air and be like, all right, I feel happy.
Well, and the thing is like I don't consider myself at all like a beer judge or anything. But I'll tell you if I want to drink it, then it's good. But if I don't, I'm gonna have to tell you like, hey. Don't make this again. Just don't do it.
I'm going to preface this by saying you're a really great person. Never make that beer.
I don't want to hurt your feelings, but your beer is horrible.
Well, I mean, how did you get over at Glasshouse? Because you seem like you're a brewer, correct?
Or yeah. Actually, I was working over at Arbor Brewing Company for 3.5 years. I was the assistant brewer in the downtown pub.
That's a two-coin beer.
That's a two-coin
beer. Two-token beer.
Two-token beer? Is this like a fest joke?
A joke from Fall Beer Fest, yeah.
What is that?
The Fall Beer Festival over at...
God, you got trolled.
Did I? Okay.
Well, yeah, you were over there. Well, were you there?
It depends on which one.
No,
well,
he wasn't there. I would recognize it. It was the one over some at, middle-aged Grand Rapids, older guy. Right? No, the no, one this, here.
This is the one in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I went to that one last year.
Okay. Yeah. I don't go to Fest because I always work.
I ordered the sour red.
Bad, man. Those are fun.
I know. I hear all about it. You know, so I'm fun. Not kidding you. Everyone's like, oh, did you go to the Fest? No, I work in a tap room that's always open.
Oh, no.
Well, not anymore, but, you know, soon to be again. And that's just the industry for
Have you been to the downtown pub since they remodeled?
I have, actually.
What'd you think?
It's nicer looking. I'll say that much.
The last time I was there, they didn't have the long, skinny bar open. So, like, the building all the way to the left.
Yes.
Because you got the left, the middle, where the restrooms are. And
the tap
room,
the game room, and the main bar.
Yeah, so the main bar and the game room are open, but the tap room was still closed.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure if they did anything to renovate the tap room.
No, they did.
They did?
Oh, they did, because I was there when there was a bunch of construction in the tap room itself.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
So.
Yeah, I actually stopped working there, like, just before that all started.
Okay.
So
I don't remember what we were asking you in regards to brewing beer.
Well, I mean,
I can't either.
I guess people making, you know, did you go up to, you know, Glasshouse and like, I can make your beer better?
That is not what I did. Okay. But no, actually, they approached me. Robert here, Robert, he hosts trivia. I hosted trivia for the same company.
Oh, so you're a second-rate trivia host.
Wait, did
second-rate?
Oh,
hold up here.
I trained Rob.
This Puma right here.
I trained him to be as awesome as
he is. This
is
the reason why I started hosting trivia, because I started playing when he used to host at the Hilton.
Yes.
Or the Sheridan, rather.
Yeah, Sheridan.
The Sheridan in, what is that? Was that Novi?
It was in Novi.
Novi. Yeah. 8 Mile in Hagerty. The very first time I went to play trivia was all Beatles night. I had absolutely no idea. I could not answer a single question, but it's
Ringo all the way down.
This was fun. So
who was the best drummer in the Beatles? Answer, John McCartney. That would be an answer for you. Just try to get as many different names as
Paul
possible.
McCartney,
in there.
Ringo Harrison.
That was the point.
I just sat there. I couldn't do a thing. I was like, you guys just have to answer. But you know, I just enjoyed the whole thing, and then. You know, after one night after we were playing, I just approached him and said, hey, how do you do this? And, you know, we just got to talk, and I said, you know, if I stop playing, this is exactly the type of thing I want to get into. Mm-hmm. And about a year and a half later, our team just kind of broke up, and I said, all right, I'm going to send an email, and got an interview, and that's just pretty much how I started hosting.
Nice. Well, isn't everyone here like a trivia host?
Well, the three of us.
Just
the three.
Okay,
you're a trivia host too?
I happen to know.
This is exactly why he starts going the second rate, because
that's where that came from.
Ken here is a host of Quizzo.
Quizzo. Wait, so what are you a host of?
We are Sporkle Live.
Oh, you got it. No, I'm kidding. I actually like both formats, so you can't just keep it with one every time. So
Yes, you can.
Well,
yes,
like Bud Light and Miller.
Sure you can.
Okay, yeah, you can. But the format Quizzo's you should choose is, you know, it's kind of two against one here, I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, when a certain someone, you know, got trivia at their certain tap room, there was a certain company that somebody chose that starts with a Q and ends in the Izzo.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
You actually forgot the U.
No joke. I ran into so
Kizzo?
Many.
Is that we're doing? Kizzo?
It just starts with a Q and still ends with an Izzo.
That is true. That is
Coke
true.
Coke starts with a C and ends in an E. Doesn't mean it's pronounced su.
I thought
you were an English major.
No, I never said that. History, get it right. God damn it.
So I don't remember how we got on this.
We're talking about beer. That's pretty much how everything starts. We talk about beer and go somewhere.
Yeah, it goes
else.
Everywhere. Right. That's a great part about
we'll,
the show.
We'll get our way back to normal.
So I want to bring up this article. So the Thrillist rated the best brewery in each state.
Best brewery. Oh.
Brewery, yes, in each
number
state.
One.
Okay. Brewery in each
so
state.
So any brewery.
Yeah,
brewery.
In the state. Yeah.
Brewery. Is this based on Yelp reviews?
I didn't read the how they did this, but Michigan, they have Founders. What do you guys think?
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, it is
a brewery
in Michigan, so.
Just say it and get it over with.
Oh, it's not craft
so
beer.
So does that mean, well, hold on, no, because that's my thing, because is Founders the top brewery because it's a big name and owned by a big name? I don't think Founders is the best brewery by far in Michigan. But.
Well, I mean, you basically, if you're looking for top tier beer, obviously you have Bell's and Founders, because Bell's is going to give you Black Note, which is always one of their top, you know, beers that they create. Founders is going to give you CBS and KBS, which is going to be their two main ones. Whereas the rest of the breweries within the state don't have that beer, that top rated beer.
Is it their top rated beer because they're distributed better and more people can get it? Or it sounds like it's on
name recognition. CBS isn't really distributed, and it's still one of the top 10 beers.
I think because basically looking at the blurb, they seem to really, you know, go on about KBS. And they mention, well, in the blurb, they mention, other than obviously Founders being the top, they mention Bell's, Jolly Pumpkin, Dark Horse, and Kunin.
Okay.
Oh.
So
one of those things is really not like the other.
Yeah, I remember
Kunin.
Not that I don't like Kunin at all. I do like Kunin, but in regards to Kunin, one, they don't distribute, whereas Jolly Pumpkin does, with Dark Horse.
Northern United. Right.
Jolly Pumpkin has multiple sites. Dark Horse has, you know, but the you know you talk beer parties, you're talking the Four Elf party in regards selling
hear
the beer.
About it.
Oh yeah, you always hear about the line and stuff. You have to show up the day before in line to get the beer the next day.
You gotta stand in two lines on two separate days.
That's not even a joke.
Then go in the line to get the beer.
You go in line on like Friday or Saturday, and then the next day, because you'll get a number, and then the next day you'll have a time frame when you can go pick up.
So you stand in line to get a number, and then you stand in the line
again
during your time.
Sounds great. Sign me up.
That sounds fantastic.
And you wonder why I won't stand in line for beer. This is why.
So there's your answer. But you know, you're talking about Founders, and I'm definitely gonna get killed for this. You know, as much as jokes and, you know, the jokes I make in regards to craft, the jokes I make about, you know, Founders being owned by another company, well, partially owned, so they're not craft. The fact of the matter is I went to the brewery last week and I was not impressed.
I don't think it was anything special. I'm on your side on this.
I don't think the brewery was anything special. The food was good. I'll give the food. I had some type of like a personal pizza that was pretty good in regards to the speed it came out in and how delicious it was, as opposed to like your standard pizza, because it was more like a thick crust type pizza, or like the breading was thick, I should say, not necessarily the crust. So definitely good food. The beer was not my favorite Browns in the state, but it was still an all right. But the atmosphere, it just felt like another bar.
It felt like, because obviously I was there yesterday, and it felt like, it kind of felt like just being in Big Buck.
Yeah, that's actually a really good.
Ouch.
I mean, it's just the whole atmosphere. It just really wasn't that much. It felt like, okay, it's a brew pub. It's got food. It's got a store.
Parking was a pain in the ass, too.
Parking.
I don't think there really is a lot of parking.
There is no parking.
No, no.
It's like a main street in Grand Rapids. Am I right or wrong?
Well, it was right off the freeway, pretty much.
Yeah, it's right off of, I think it's
496.
Something like that. And there was a little parking lot that was about a block and a half south of Founders. It cost $2 to park in there and could park all day, so I ended up parking in there.
Yeah.
If you were closer to the brewery, you had the meters that you only got maybe 45 minutes.
Jeez, really?
You could put it in enough time.
Well, let me reverse that.
It was like if you use the Park Mobile app, you got 45 minutes, but you can put in change to get 4 hours, and then that was pretty much it. And by the time I actually left, I saw at least 7-8 cars have tickets.
Oh, they were just waiting.
You know, they should have it to where I've been to different places where you can pay the parking meter through an app or your card, and then it sends you a text asking if you want to add time to it.
Yeah, it wouldn't let me. It's the same app, but it would not. It would not let anyone. You could not add time to it.
Park Detroit allows you to add because that's a $45 ticket.
Whatever Ferndale has lets you do that.
Ferndale's Park Mobile.
It got a little nuts
because obviously with it being KBS week, at 4 o'clock they would tap CBS, and I guess basically depending on the day, it seemed like it would last until about 4:30, 4:45. From today it looks like it didn't even make it to 4:15. And it was already tapped out. So tomorrow, I'm sure the biggest day of KBS week going on, that there probably won't even be enough to even get past 4:05, maybe 4:10.
All right. So I do want to talk about this a little bit more, but we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here, if you guys don't mind.
Was that a question?
If I have input, Actually, the break will be me singing.
Then I don't mind. I'm gonna leave your mic on so we can sing along with this. We'll be back in a few minutes.
I thought higher math was like 10.
Welcome back, episode number 23 of Better on Draft.
We're continuing our conversation.
Yes, we're gonna go back to this conversation. It started off really good. We had some good talk during the music there, between segments. Going back to Founders being the top brewery in Michigan, according to Grillis.
So I don't believe we managed to figure out why.
Yeah, so you guys were finding this out. Tell me a little bit about what we have here. Yeah. Got the PR team or whatever we got here.
Hey, I didn't have to do the research this time.
Yeah, that's abnormal. I'm kind of impressed. You must like having a night off.
Well, so I've
been doing homework ever since I got out of work at 4.
I have the point system here that they went by, if you're interested. So it says awards for individual beers, and then it's saying each beer in the Beer Advocate 250 or Rate Beer 100 that got you 3 points. And then if you got any medals from the Great American Beer Festival or the World Beer Cup since 2004, you got 3 points for gold, 2 points for silver, 1 point for bronze. So it's looking like they're literally just rating it off of the points that they got for each beer. And it's not the actual establishment. It's not, you know, like there's nothing else. It's just the beer, which is fine, you know, but I was curious to see how they were rating it and how they got number one, which I'm not against. It's just I was curious because you never know.
It's interesting that they would do it that way. I mean, that's probably the fairest way to do it. I mean, you can't send someone around to every state and try all the breweries. That would just never work.
Challenge accepted.
You pay me for that.
Yeah. You know how long that would take? You send them to Michigan. You send them to Oregon. You send them to Vermont. Vermont would be easy
because they're all so close to each
other. You ever been to Vermont? It's not that easy. Driving around that area.
Okay,
you don't know Vermont.
Okay, let's do Fort Street Brewing and then go up to Ishpeming or whatever it is.
Ishpeming?
up in the UP. No, okay, for another brewery.
You're right. I'll give you that much. You know, once you get to the UP, it turns into a different game.
Well, the UP is not Michigan. You know that, right?
Oh, it's not. Is that Canada? Canada later.
You know, they did try to be their own state.
It's part of Wisconsin.
They did try to be their own state. Give them a little bit of credit. But they would have instantly been the least populated state in America if they would have done it. But
and probably the most quiet state.
Yeah, like nothing to offer for the country.
We just got trees, got all these trees. No.
They got hockey. Michigan Tech.
They have hockey.
Listen,
we play the hockey. I don't know why.
They're a bunch of Scandinavian transplants up there. It's about all they have.
So before we go in, I wanted to ask you guys, because we did crack open a bottle of rum barrel aged 4L from the 2005 vintage collection. What did you guys think of it so far?
I know I'm in the minority. You guys liked it.
Oh, that's fine. I've always been in the minority.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just not a rum fan because I know I don't like rum. I didn't like the taste of it myself.
I am a rum fan, but I didn't really care too much for the taste myself. It was kind of, I don't know, it just seemed kind of off for me.
I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was just like, oh man, this beer is getting a lot of hate right now. I thought, because I'm not usually a huge fan of winter warmers, to the point that, you know, it's just like I know everyone clamors to go get this beer when they have their party.
Well, they go get it for not this beer. It's the 4L party, but it's because they release
the bourbon barrel plead the fifth.
Oh, it's a good beer.
That's why.
Okay, yes. Well, now I'm going to have to go to this party. But,
where you're going to wait in line for 2 days?
No, I'm not.
I will sign me up. all the lines, just put me in them. I'll be there. I'll be with my tent. I'll be that guy.
You know, you could probably make some money going to like KBS Day for someone who couldn't go to KBS Day.
It's like the iPhone. Whenever there's a release for iPhones, now I can pay people to stand in line for me, and then they can give me the beer, and then I'll distribute it out myself.
Ah.
Don't tell anyone I'm doing that, though.
That's nothing new. Friday.
Speaking of waiting in lines, you know, what about those Jordans over at Eastland Mall?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
What? Yeah.
Wait, hold up. Did someone get shot again?
No.
Because that's what happens over there at Eastland.
Wait, where did you grow up?
So there's a road called Liberal. Look it up on
streets. I know Liberal. Yeah. Yeah. Harper Woods.
Well, so the house that I grew up in is like the only house on the block essentially that did not burn down. It's a really bad neighborhood. So it's like 7.5 in Haze.
Your house made it?
I know. I want to buy it one day. Like, call me crazy, but I actually want to go back.
Probably
there.
Get it for $5,000.
Actually, you know what's weird? I looked it up. It's like worth $50, and it makes not $50. It should be. Okay. But, Jesus.
Thank you for clarification. Wow. Appreciate that.
$50,000, and it's to me. I'm not going to pay that much. I want that house, but I don't want it that much.
You know what you got to do? You got to burn it down, drop its value a little bit.
Just get the land and rebuild. Yeah.
No, just burn it down and like, all right, this block's done. Let's move to the next one.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's really what happens down there. It's weird. It's like you don't live in Detroit unless there's a house that's burnt up on your block.
Not true.
Okay, the street north.
We're talking the east side. Hold on a second.
Yeah, actually, different. So
we're talking night and day right now.
Weird situation with that area is we looked into it. Apparently, statistically, it's like one of the worst areas of Detroit. And it's because of like gangs and drugs and all that. But it's weird. You go one street north and all the houses were brick houses, whereas our street, they were not all nice little red brick houses.
Right. So. Yeah, the Detroit News actually did an article on that because that's the most dangerous zip code in the city of Detroit, right? Yeah. What you're talking about. And they did a graph. They put a little animation together for over the course of 2 years, but it was like a 30-second, you know, time period of all the reported gunshots, confirmed gunshots in that 2 year period. You just see the map just lighting up in that zip code.
For holidays, we weren't allowed to sleep in our bedroom because it was on the second floor and bullets would come through the roof because people are shooting their guns off. That was normal.
That still happens. I still live in Harper Woods. I live with my ma. Shocker. You know, anyway.
Let's all judge.
Hey. I'm not afraid to admit that. But even so, like just during like the weekends, you could still hear them. It's gotten significantly worse.
Yeah.
You know, on that side of town.
It's funny, too. A lot of Eastern Europeans, a lot of people, like, I don't know where your family – I know your parents are in Troy now. I don't know where their grandparents live, but a friend of ours' parents are from over there. One of my grandparents are
East
from over there.
East Detroit and Hamtramck.
There we go. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That neighborhood, especially down Gratiot and 7 Mile to 6 Mile, a lot of Eastern European transplants are in there. And now it's just a burned-out shell. Like, yeah, I don't know what happened over there or what changed over the years.
Gangs. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is.
Because I remember being a little kid being over that area, and now you drive down that. Me and a friend, you know, the one in Texas these days, it's like it's night and day compared to what we used to see back then. It's, it's shocking.
Yeah, it's
the way that's changed in our lifetimes.
Yeah,
it's changed like that.
I maybe not necessarily related to that particular area. When I was working one day, me and someone else were working, and we were literally followed out of that one of those neighborhoods.
I think you told us this story before.
Yeah,
actually.
So we were I won't get into the details as to what, but I was, you know, we were out in the field, and we get in our car, we're getting ready to head back to the office anyway. But there's one way streets in that area. So so you have to go the one way, and you know, we driving, and then all of a sudden I see the right in my rearview mirror. There's a car following me. I'm like, okay, it's a one way street, no big deal. Make a turn, and it's still following me. And I make another turn, it's still following me, and I'm heading towards over by the old state fairgrounds at this point. So if you've ever been in that part of Detroit, oh man.
What are you talking about? Woodward and 8 Mile?
This is south of
like the Robin Wood Road area.
It's south of 8 Mile between the railroad tracks, which would be the eastern edge of the state fairgrounds.
It's right by my favorite dispensary.
Oh boy. Yeah,
that's another thing. Those things keep popping up.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Oh,
there's a drive-through one.
There's a drive-through
one? Wait, there's a drive-through one?
A drive-through
It's right next to the Little Caesars right next to us.
So if they open up like a
pizza. No shit.
Old McDonald's or something like that.
My dispensary has Soul Food right next to it. And then across the street.
I know the one you're talking about. I know the one you're talking about. I live right over. It's right down the road.
Unified Collective,
yeah. I know exactly where
it is. Is that strip club actually open strip
King
club?
King of Diamonds.
Oh, I think they closed.
Yeah, no, you're right. They did close for at least a little.
They used to have a great name. What was it?
The Booby Trap.
Yes.
I remember that place. That's right down the road from where we're at right now.
Yes.
You go into the dispensary, you go get your soul food, and you leave.
Yeah.
So, what are your guys' opinions in regard? Oh yeah, I mean, I think we've exhausted our North Detroit
joints.
North Detroit geography lesson for a day.
Yeah, let's beer. Hey, really quick, can I have some of that one in the growler?
Sure.
No, so, not at all.
No,
it's for everyone else.
While we're passing beers around, can I get some of that? That was it. The Old Guardian or is it Arrogant Bastard?
This one, you want some? I thought, yeah.
Yeah,
we normally do hand signals and
we'll start off with Rob. What is, you know, your favorite brewery? Like what would be at the moment, because usually it probably changes just with beer.
Oof, my favorite brewery right now.
It's a hard decision.
I guess pretty much just to kind of stick with, you know, pretty much the mainstream. I mean, right now, I think it's Bell's.
Bell's?
I mean,
Have you been to the garden or no?
I've not been to the garden yet.
You haven't been to the beer garden?
I was looking forward to trying to get there after Founders yesterday, but it was just the fact that it was just an hour straight south, and it wasn't even close to being on the way home. So it was.
Yeah, you could have stopped at Gun Lake and did some gambling over there.
Right, right. But I think just pretty much just from, you know, the Planet series, I'm a huge fan of Black Note. The last few beers that have come out with the 30th anniversary, so I pretty much would put it there with Bell's. I mean, granted, I know we just had them on last week, but I'm really starting to get into Rogue.
Oh, Rogue!
I'm really as far as especially with the Blow Your Face Out.
That's a good beer.
That is a damn good beer.
I couldn't believe how good that was.
Right?
Yeah.
What about you, Nick?
I thought we talked about this at the very beginning when the show started. I did say when the show first started that I was a big fan of Atwater. I think that's kind of transitioned over to Griffin Claw.
I can understand.
Recently.
Do they make the Donald Trump one we've been
that
we haven't had yet.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un one.
No, they have the Kim Jong-un. They have the Donald Trump.
He's so ornery.
He's so ornery, yeah. They got the securities and finance one that's just sitting in my fridge.
Probably my favorite from last year, the Great Lakes Flying Buffalo.
We actually had two different ones.
Yeah, we had the different variants.
We had the coffee one.
The regular coffee and then that Great Lakes version.
Yeah, good. I have a bottle that I want to bring in soon. I think it's called Black Douglas. And I think that's a darker beer. I think I don't remember what it was.
Black Duck.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like it might be dark.
I don't know.
I was waiting for you to say it was like a winter white.
Yeah, it's a winter white. Yeah. But yeah, no. That's I would have to say Griffinclaw's kind of number one in my heart right now.
What about you, Kuma?
As far as breweries go, I can't think of a favorite. I've been trying to figure that out. But I don't know. I've been trying a lot of different things recently. I, for a while, was kind of staying away from bottles because, you know, you go to the store and you can never necessarily guarantee that you're getting like a fresh, good bottle.
It's true.
And so I've kind of strayed away from buying bottles on shelves just because, you know, sometimes you buy a six pack and you're like, well, I don't actually want to finish this. But now I have five more bottles. So I've been drinking more locally, just kind of like, you know, whatever's available at pubs, you know.
Has there been any that you've been kind of like gravitating towards more frequently than others?
That's a good question.
Like, where was the last one you were at? How about that? Let's answer.
The last.
Yeah, last one.
That was at. Let's see. That would have to be. See, here's the thing. I live right down the street from Corner Brewery. Okay. Or I guess as it's properly called now, Arbor Brewing Company Microbrewery.
Right. We still call it Pine Knob. So let's just
make sure. Exactly. See, exactly. Thank you. And so I live right down the street from Corner. I spend a ton of time there. I love the people who work there. Like, I hang out with them all the time. So I'm there an absurd amount of time. But I worked for a brief moment at Ipsy Ale House, which just opened up in downtown Ypsilanti, like kitty corner from the VU, which is always my favorite way of telling people. You know, that's the thing. You go if yes. people are like, hey, where is it located in Ypsilanti? You say kitty corner from the Deja VU, and they know exactly. Everyone from Ypsilanti knows where that strip club is. And so, I don't know, like – I've been to Wolverine a couple times because it's down the road from Glass House.
Okay.
But you know what? I will tell you a couple of beers that I've enjoyed very much recently. Mm. I had two beers from Anchorage Brewing Company that were mind-blowing.
Right.
Like dry-hopped with Brettanomyces. There was a Saison with Mosaic. And then there was a Brettanomyces IPA that I think had Galaxy. I can't remember exactly. But they were both, like, outstanding. Just really fantastic.
Love Buzz Saison?
I don't think it was Love Buzz.
Okay. I'm looking at Anchorage Brewing right now.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah,
Love Buzz Saison. Is that a dumb but obvious question?
The Tide and its Takers Triple?
Ooh, that was not it either, but that sounds fantastic.
And then the Galaxy White IPA?
Yes. Yeah, that was one of them. Galaxy
White. Hey, we got one of them.
There you go. But they, you know, it's just like I've been enjoying a lot of, I guess, sour beers, now that I think of it. Like I've been getting into beers that really, really dive into the Brettanomyces and really bring out those kind of farmy flavors.
Crack open that sour brown on the third segment.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
what sour brown did you bring?
La Follette.
Oh, okay.
From
New Belgium.
I was like, I had a sour brown that I almost brought today, then I didn't.
It's the bottle that was sitting right here.
Was it the same?
It was.
No, it was the Bruin from Arbor Brewing Company 2014.
Oh. I helped make that. Was that Saison Rondi Brew? Does that sound familiar?
No, I don't think that was it either.
Oh, man.
Well, Jefferson,
it was definitely made with mosaics.
Okay.
What about you? I mean, I don't know how much of a beer guy you are as much as.
Well, you know, it's weird. I'm into beer. It is true. But I really love sour beers. And surprisingly, when Griffinclaw put out their sour aphrodisiac, I got excited. Yeah, it's a wax seal bottle with like orange and purple wax. Oh, pretty funky looking. And it's a good one. But now, as far as favorite breweries are concerned, like I don't have one specific favorite brewery. I do love Kunin's beer. I think it's a great place, and I think now that they're going to be distributing eventually, hopefully soon.
Again.
Yeah. Well, and probably on a much larger scale, and it's not going to be tiny little bottles in, like, one store, which I miss because there used to be a beer that they made called the Tenacious Cassis, and it is – here, I pulled it up. It's got a 90 on Beer Advocate, which I don't really care about ratings.
What kind of beer was it?
It says it was a fruit/vegetable beer, and it was...
Oh, so a 90 is pretty good for that, because it's not a triple IPA barrel-aged stout.
That would be 100 instantly.
15% ABV, and it was a heavy 15. Hitter. Oh, yeah. And that was one that actually, like, reeled me into the place. And nice. I don't think they've made it since 2007-ish. Huh. So, yeah, I don't know. I like a lot of different places. I like places that are – they're thinking of crazy ideas and or they have really good labels, and they actually put a lot of time and effort into it. Mm. And even if the beer isn't the greatest, like, you could see that they're putting their heart into it. And so a lot of people give Griffin Claw issues because they're like, oh, well – they, you know, they own Clubhouse BFDs or they're just all money. But you know what? They're making good things. Good and news, it's a man. Great place. Yeah. And so I don't
How
care about
dare
all that.
A business.
Yeah.
Make money.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. How dare they?
But I recently went to Dark Horse finally for the first time of my life.
I was unimpressed when I went there.
Well, no, I so, OK. It's homey feeling, like it's a smaller type tap room. It's uh-huh. not that big. They have
it's
their
not big at all.
No, not at all. They have their mug club, which is a cool idea, but I just think what they're doing there as far as the whole property is concerned is really unique. It's like they have the tattoo parlor, they have their gift shop, they're now gonna be opening eventually a creamery / bakery. So they're really doing a lot of things, and it brings a lot of people to that area. And you can tell that they are really into what they do. And they all really have fun there.
What sucked for me when I went to Dark Horse, and I probably just had the worst timing in the world, I showed up there and everything that they had on draft are things that they bottle.
Yeah, that did happen exactly to me. But
it's
you know what?
Unique or anything.
I was there for happy hour, and it was $3 pints of Lead the Fifth, and I was like,
"Oh,
$3?
That's."
Yeah.
That's
I was
that's,
like, "Wait, hold on, what?"
That is dangerous.
I was going to say that does sound that dangerous. So yeah, dangerous. It was definitely hard. But you know, going back to Kuma real quick in regards sure. to you know his plight of going to a beer store and buying a six pack because. There are beer stores out there that allow you to buy singles like Zatuna Liquor in Rochester.
Yes. Oh,
so over on M59 and Rochester Road, they're open 7 days a week. They're open late every night. Go check them out. Full-on liquor stores so you can get your liquor, your beer, your wine, snacks, cigars, rip cords or rippets.
Rippets. What's a rip cord? No, a pack of parachutes tomorrow. I can get a rip cord.
they got rippets, plenty of other things. But, you know, Dan, as you probably have been racking your brain in regards to your favorite brewery, what is your take on your favorite brewery that you have?
I didn't
at the
actually
moment.
Have to rack my brain. You're probably hoping I say a certain.
No. I was going to say that later.
No, Black Lotus, actually.
Black Lotus,
it might right. show bias because I work right there. By there, but God, I've been going there for 2 years now. Just
is it because of the new brewer?
Nick, he was actually here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was actually going there before we met him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met him at the Fall Beer Fest. I'm like, that guy's freaking awesome.
Yeah,
that guy is amazing.
Musically talented, too.
Is he really?
We didn't even talk about that
in any way. But
he used to be a cellarman at Koonin's, actually, before he was the brewer at Black Lotus. And ever since he started there, I'm not kidding. Like, it's just been nothing but great reviews from people that I'm
That's the thing, and we talked about it when he was here, and you talk about going to Black Lotus 5 years ago and going to Black Lotus now. The beer is a complete different story in regards to how much better it is.
I'm sold.
Because it wasn't bad back then. It just wasn't anything special.
And it's funny because
Oh, go on, Dan.
Oh, I started going there right when he started, like two holiday seasons ago. So I want to say Christmas time of December 2014. We started going in there, and when he was making that Ride the Ghost Whip, the Ghost Pepper Porter.
Ooh.
And I was like, that had to be one of the first ones. He's like, that's the first one I made when I was asking him about it here. And, like, he brought us – was it Miss Michigan he brought
the
here?
Miss Michigan.
Really good.
Yeah, we
the Detroit Hip Hop's amazing.
We destroyed the Miss Michigan.
Yeah, God, I still have that that growler you gave us.
You still have my growler.
I still have that, too. You are correct. The 00 Saison, amazing
beer. Oh, that was
beer.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's my new guilty pleasure at $16 a bomber to go ahead and buy. But, yeah, by far, the food there, too, is amazing. Even if you don't eat meat like myself, it's really good. It's not expensive. It's, like, not overly expensive in any
way. No. Black Lotus is definitely on the mid to low scale in regards to prices and compared to breweries. I mean, there are some breweries that are obviously going to be more expensive, like your Jolly Pumpkins, your Bee Nectars, your – Well, I guess those two are probably the big one, just because it costs more and it takes more time to make the actual product. So you can't you have to factor that in when you're purchasing beer. You can't expect like, you know, $4 pints wherever you go or $3 pints.
But they have like the $3 pint or $5 pint or the $8 pint if you want it, which is great about it.
Double O Saison.
The $16 24-ounce bottle if you want it. It's there. It's available. And not even 24. It's like a 16. It's like a 22, actually, I think, or whatever they have. But, yeah, by far my favorite place. It doesn't help that work right down the street, but there's never a line. There's never people lining up for whatever release event.
One day.
Absolutely.
I don't think Nick would want that either.
No, I don't think he would either. And, like, he hides when they're out of things. He doesn't want to get confronted by people. He told us that. But
so we'll go into mine. So everybody's wondering, obviously.
No, it's gonna be some random.
Oh, you? I guarantee
some hipster choice.
It's not a hipster choice at all, and it's Batch Brewing. Out in Detroit.
I can see that,
Beer,
not Sheboygan?
Beer, not Sheboygan. It's, beer has always been on point. In regards to the food itself, the food is really fucking good there. And it's definitely something to where they don't have 10 different IPAs. It's literally, they may have two variants of a style, but they also have their charity beer where a dollar of a specific beer goes to a charity each and every month.
That's awesome.
That's actually do they always have that on tap?
Yeah. So it's always a different beer every month and a different charity every month.
Oh, good for them.
So they have probably one of my favorite ones, which is one that I had not too long ago, which was a honey variation, which was their batch Better Have My Honey.
There you go.
Let the joke.
Awesome. And I'm done.
Let that sink in for a moment.
And I'm done. So. Beer names are now officially going downhill. We've now jumped the shark.
Is ODB on the front of it?
That is amazing.
I don't think they bottle at all. I don't think their entire goal is to basically be a small batch, you know, consistently turning different types of products.
Okay.
So I don't think they're, you know, they may have one or two, not that I've noticed, but they may have one or two of the same beers that are consistent, but they always have different beers on draft when you're there. So the only downfall is it's definitely a smaller place, so it's a little bit crowded. Even with communal seating, it's hard to find seats when it's a very, very busy day.
Well, isn't their whole thing, too? They're doing, like, 5-gallon batches or something really small.
Yeah, all their batches are really small.
Yeah, like, and you can't get it. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I like their concept. I didn't know about their charity.
Yeah, they have the charity. And then the food is just, like, I had a pool boy when I was there. And I know Dana had something that I probably couldn't pronounce and understand half the ingredients that are in it. But they have, you know, it's very, very like deli style type serving because it's in like a plastic bowl with a little like wax paper.
You don't have to wash dishes.
Dude,
well, yeah, that too.
Don't worry. I actually didn't know what arugula was until last year.
working for the truck.
Well, it was before the truck. So it was a really long day after work, and I just wanted to drink at Betty's. And I'm looking through the food menu, and I was like, what the fuck is arugula? And then they're like, no, it's arugula. I'm like, I feel stupid, but that is, I will say this story so many times now. But yeah, there's fancy things on menus that I don't understand what it is. And that's me.
Oh boy.
That's what I have Dana for.
Yeah, exactly. So she told you what arugula was.
Arugula, yeah. I'll have to ask her what it is when I get home and see if she understands what the hell
what's
I'm saying.
Arugula? Like, I know that you've used it on the food truck.
So we're going to be taking a break in a few minutes, but I did want to mention one quick thing in regards to one of our sponsors, which is 3 Nick Scoreboard down in Allen Park. Really, probably one of the best beer bars out there. A dive bar, to say the least, for the fact that it's
shocking.
Expect it, especially in the area, to be a craft beer bar. But with 28 taps and then that entire beer fridge that they had right outside the bar area, you could actually, you know, pretty much go up there and grab a beer if you wanted.
Bartenders hustle there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I've been there, it's like, wow.
Yeah, so a great place to go check out. Great food, great beer, always great specials. And then they usually always have, you know, whatever the newest craziest, most random beers that they have between, you know, Hop Slam, KBS, BCBS. They'll always have it on draft. Make sure to follow them on Facebook, though, to find out when they're going to have it on draft, because they always push it there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, is it break time or did
yeah, it's pretty much break time.
All right, here we go.
Know. Hey.
I feel like a jerk. I thought we had like another 10 minutes. My bad. Here we go.
We're just gonna
go ahead and take a break here.
I'll sing again. Here we go.
All right, here we go. Jefferson's gonna sing for. Welcome back, episode 23 of Ken. Nick loves that song. I love it.
Episode 23 of Ken.
Yeah, I know you love it. Stop it. Episode number 23 of Better on Draft. Nicky poured us something here.
Moffoli or Lafolette, whatever you want to call it.
Tell us a little bit about what we're drinking.
It's New Belgium Sour Brown.
New Belgium. Wow.
It's real good.
And it's from their Lips of Faith
Obviously
series.
It's bad because you can get it everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, obviously. Yeah.
Obviously. Isn't that how it works now?
I stood in a line for 6 days for this beer, all right?
And you were still number 45 in the line.
There's a different line every day.
It's like Black Friday at Best Buy.
What are your guys' thoughts?
Oh, I haven't even had it yet. I'm busy drinking the Jaden James.
Kuma, what'd you think?
I don't know if there's any cherry added to it, but it tastes a cherry flavor.
It tastes like fruit,
There is actually cherry added?
Oh, that's not bad.
They're not
going to
say
what it is. It's decent.
So.
They're not going to say it. They're not going to with a recipe
this
on
is
the
definitely,
bottle.
This is definitely a sipping beer. Like, this isn't a beer that I could slam or anything like that.
This isn't like that 13% Woot Stout we drink. Or like I can slam it like in 30 seconds,
I was like that. I pretty much drank the entire cup of Jaden James that I had during the break because I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm going to keep drinking.
Well, it's like that. It's like, well, I could chug the rest of that beer in that growler. It's like, but I shouldn't.
Because, it is good.
Not because, like, I want to hug it all. Because I should drive home.
Yes, that's right.
That's why I'm not slim. Well, I don't want to. I would, but.
New Belgium says, green apple, plum skin, jammy, caramel sweetness, cherry pit, peppery.
What's jammy?
I have no idea.
I'm assuming jam.
Jam-ish.
Jam-esque.
That's what they say the aroma is.
Jam-y. You know, I am feeling a little jammy right now.
Are you in fact pumping up the jam?
Yeah, I'm pumping it up.
Oh, Lord. I heard that song earlier.
And I'm about to put on fish.
And I'm skinning some
Grateful
plums.
Grateful Dead.
Oh, I love the dead.
Pump up the jam by a Grateful Dead. Is
that what it's like? Perhaps Moe or
no.
What about Kick Out the Jams?
Kick Out the Jams.
Some MC5?
Oh, yeah.
Jamming. We'd be jamming.
We're jamming.
Thank you, Bob Marley.
Or what were we hearing down at Three Nicks when we were down there? Couple of inappropriate songs.
Some
YG.
Live
version.
YG. Oh, God.
Whoever. I have no idea who played that song.
What is it?
But I don't think it is a very, very.
It is not appropriate for this show.
Not appropriate. I mean, think of things Trump supporters would say.
I think 78-year-old punching people.
I think my hangover just came back.
It's pretty bad.
So I know Nick wanted to mention some things that we came back from break. So why don't you hit us?
So Nick, do you guys know who Jonathan Goldsmith is?
I guess the son of Mr. and Mrs. Goldsmith.
I would agree with him.
He's the most interesting man in the world, the Dos Equis guy.
Oh. Then why didn't any of us know his name?
I don't know.
Because
he's the Dos Equis guy.
No, everyone knows him as
that. Really not that interesting.
Right. Well, apparently he is retiring from Dos Equis commercials.
So he made $1 billion and he's just going to call
quits. Actually, you would think that he would make a lot of money, but according to... Brewbound. He's only gonna make a little over $1 million this year.
With his
Dos Equis partnership.
He's hurting. You know,
Charlie has a stock in the company.
For commercials, and I think all he does is sit in the booth with the women and
gets
say,
royalties.
So I guess for his last commercial, I guess they got a 60-second spot for him, and he's gonna go out with a bang.
God bless him. He's going to die?
No, he is not.
His character might.
Well, that's
maybe,
what I mean.
Maybe he introduces the most interesting woman in the world.
Oh, God.
He's going to peel his mask off, and it's going to be like... Hillary Clinton or Sarah Palin?
Which would you prefer? How do you troll? That's how you
Sarah
troll.
Palin? So, I'm not going to lie. She's interesting.
I was going to go with Kim Kardashian.
I have no interest in her.
So Dos Equis launched this marketing campaign in 2006. That's how long he's been doing this. So it's been 10 years.
So he's made $10 million. I think he'll be all right.
I'd say he's doing all right. It's interesting how one guy can make it a top 15 brand just based on sales. This is not, volume or anything like that.
Is the Dos Equis brand sales?
The Dos Equis brand.
Okay, so not Constellation, actual.
It's the actual brand.
Okay.
And this is according to Brewbound with their recent article. USA Today did come out and did talk a little bit about it as well.
They said their goodbyes.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that in depth.
Well, I mean, there's so many, beer commercials have always been something that we've always talked about. Obviously, the Budweiser anti-craft commercials are hysterical.
Stick with the Clydesdales.
Remember the old Miller Lite commercial? Budweiser.
That was Budweiser.
Bring back those guys.
I don't want you to get sued now that I did that.
I don't care.
Now we're getting sued.
We don't make money.
Here we go.
The cat fight for Miller Lite, less taste or great taste, less filling.
Less filling.
Less filling. There you go. Yeah. I was going to say less taste, more filling.
More filling. What's going to be more calories
the
now?
Great American Hero.
Oh, the real American
presents.
Real American genius.
Oh, real men of genius.
Real American heroes to real men of genius. Yeah, you're right.
They did. Why did they change? Was it because of we don't call French fries anymore?
I don't know, but that was
freedom fries.
I don't know.
Apparently, someone in my fraternity had a CD of nothing but those.
The real American.
They were
heroes.
Big. I swear on Napster, I swear I was downloading those.
Oh yeah, I remember Napster when you used to download movie clips Tommy Boy and Happy Gilmore.
And Metallica.
And you're like, oh my gosh, it's so funny, and it's just audio.
Oh, gosh.
That's what I used to always fill up my CDs at the end because I always wanted to make sure I get as many seconds of the CD as possible.
I'm guilty of doing that too.
68 minutes, it's then the Tommy wingy parts of Tommy.
Me likey.
I had Tenacious D in some CDs where I had. Melodic metal that we were talking about.
Symphonic metal?
Melodic.
Neoclassical
melodic metal. Sorry.
Please, don't get mad because it's just called football soccer.
No, I'm kidding. I don't really care. I just think it's funny that there's a real legit name for it. When it's just a bunch of guys that love playing D&D and guitar at the same time.
You'd be shocked to record a real talk about that. To record a real symphonic metal song takes about 50 people.
Really?
Between the symphony the band. Yeah, it is
we were talking about
a huge ordeal.
Last week, weren't mm-hmm. we?
Do we break?
We talked about last week.
The breaks, yeah. That we were talking about.
Yeah, a good way to see what goes into it, if you look up Epica Cry for the Moon, that is actually the whole group that it took to record that song.
Okay.
Obviously the whole video is set up and choreographed, but that's all the people it took, and it's a pretty big ordeal.
Is it similar to when Metallica did their S&M?
Yeah, need that big of a type of thing to do it. Yeah, and think of every song. So it's kind of tough. But this isn't a symphonic metal show.
Listen
to some No Leaf Clover.
No, let's not listen to No Leaf Clover.
When it comes to me, this was
I'm sure they are listening to Load or Reload right now.
Just
I can't
remember.
Or what's the Turn so the Page? Did they do Turn the Page?
Isn't that Bob Seger?
Yeah, but didn't they redo Turn the Page?
What about I Disappear?
Oh God!
Yeah,
do not disappear.
Is that the one that goes? Is that that?
Yeah.
I was a roadie for Metallica.
Oh Lord,
I'm kidding.
Anyway,
let's talk beer. Let's talk soft. Let's talk Gouda Beach. The one that got me off track, and everyone else
hosted, right?
We just derailed it. It's like watching Colony last night.
Well, hey, the beer that we just drank was really good, by the way.
Oh, yeah, the lovely.
I actually decided I should probably just start drinking vinegar because. No, really. I'm not calling it vinegar. I love sours. I really do. And have you guys had the McCleary brothers? They're drinking vinegars.
Ken, we'll have Ken answer.
Don't look at me. There's a conversation we're going to have after this show.
Okay.
So, anyway. Miller Coors is being sued because they're not being brewed in the Rockies.
I was going to ask this. I thought we talked about this. Wait,
being sued because what?
Because
oh, that was Blue Moon. Never mind.
Technically being brewed in the Rockies.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's an article out right now
that's
in regards
kind of hilarious.
To.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could practically.
You misled me. You've been lying all these years.
So yeah. we're starting to see this a lot more, aren't we, Ken? We're starting to see these crazy ass lawsuits. Like,
welcome to America.
I know. We talked about there was the Blue Moon one, right?
Yeah, that's what I was confused about. That's why I didn't bring this one up.
The Blue Moon one. Now there's this. As Ken's about to share with us.
Well, it's the same company too. Yeah. Miller Coors, Blue Moon.
Just gonna sue everybody. Right.
I choked on my beer. I'm going to sue you now.
I love the line that is in here.
The
plaintiff basically is suing because he says that suggests that these false advertisements have allowed Miller Coors to sell Coors Light at a premium price, a price he says he would
premium
not have
price.
Paid
what?
If he knew it was not exclusively brewed at the brand's Colorado brewery.
Wait a minute. Hold on. This guy thinks. Is he saying Coors should be like the same level of like King Cobra?
Now,
is that what he's saying?
Now, here's the other line. You're back
on the show next week. No, that's my favorite. That's my go-to.
That makes me feel like a teenager.
I guess what throws me off is the fact that, you know, he says it sells Coors Light at a premium price. And in the very next sentence after that, a 24-pack of the beer sells for about $15.
What do you got on tap? We got Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, Michelob Light. Oh, it's just one of the light yellow beers.
This guy is going around in stores now, and he's like, you know what? It's not true. They don't make it there. It's not brewed there. I've been telling people for 30 years,
don't buy it. They don't brew it there.
I like how the article actually singles out this guy's name.
That sucks to be that guy. He needs
Joaquin
to win now.
Lorenzo.
Oh, Joaquin.
Over at from the Miami-Dade. Miami-Dade County by plaintiff Joaquin Lorenzo.
Man, his days just got
bad. This isn't even – there are cases before that have occurred. You've had Beck's, which was brewed in St. Louis, that it was quote-unquote a German lager.
Yeah.
You actually mentioned that in the article, too.
Yep. Kirin Ichiban is not brewed in Japan. It's one of those things to where there is precedent that breweries have paid out for false advertising of where they're technically brewed. I don't know if this is going to be a very big case for the fact that we're not talking foreign country versus the United States. We're talking the Colorado brewery versus a different brewery that they have.
I kind of just feel like, I mean, if he likes it, just drink it. I mean, that's the whole point.
Oh, it's a cash grab
for her. I mean, that's pretty much our thing, is that the favorite beer out there is the one that you drink.
Well, yeah, and if you like it.
If you like it, then
it's a good beer.
It's a good beer.
Which is the slogan of North Center Brewery, one of our sponsors.
Oh, great segue.
By the way, Ken.
I got him to it. That was the plan.
So, well, at Atwater, everything was known to be German. Like, they have a German, what do you call it, fermenter and all that. Everything that they have there is German. They even have German benches. Well, in the old tap room,
German benches.
Yeah, they have legitimately. I thought it was made up, but no, they're German benches. Just to get the feel of being in Germany and having a pint.
What makes them German? Just that that's where they're from, or is it design, or
That's a very good question. I think it just started out as a German brewery, and they wanted to do German style everything. So the weird thing is they also. They brew at Brew Detroit. So I guarantee you those tanks are not all German. So can I go to Atwater now and be like, you know what? You lied to me. I thought this was all German. It's not German. It's like, that's crazy. That would be crazy
in
for people to do.
In 2016 America, you can.
Yeah.
Why don't you?
Sue them for saying that their water's not from Germany. Inauthentic.
It's Detroit.
It's inauthentic. Well, I mean, as long as it's not Flint.
We got a new lawsuit.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let it down, please.
Well, that was a big thing, too, that happened in regards to Tapestry having to publicly come out because, obviously, their beer and their brewery was made with water,
because that's what beer is. Part of beer ingredients.
I thought it was like, at least 70% water.
So they had to come out and say that their beer. They had to come out and actually say that their beer was not, you know, using the Flint water source. And, you know, that's a big deal because that could really destroy a company like a Tapestry.
I didn't even think about that.
You know, for the fact that people are, one, going to, just because of the news, not go up to, you know, Tapestry because it's Flint and that's exactly where it's going on. And I don't know how far further from Flint that it went, if it went to like Tri-County or Tri-City Brewery or anything like that. But again, yeah, Tapestry came out and, you know, that was the first thing that I thought about when, you know, they were talking about the Flint water crisis in regards to the beer, the stores, the businesses, because that's, you know, my mindset always goes to business when it comes to these types of news stories. Mm-hmm. What does it do for the business? How does it affect business? I had to work in Flint not too long ago, a month and a half ago, and I had no idea what to expect when I went up there. And, you know, I went to a restaurant up there and I'm like, well, you got to wash your produce with the water. Right. You got to wash your, you know, everything. Wash your dishes with the water. You got to wash, you know. So I'm like, you know. So I had the guy explain it. And there's, in regards to the businesses themselves, there are things that they were able to do to bypass. But at a point, they were using the Flint water system.
Right.
So a lot of people could have potentially gotten sick from eating there or drinking there or anything like that. So it's always interesting to think, you know, the microcosm of even the fact that we're an hour away from Flint. Yeah, we really have no idea what the people of Flint are dealing with, including the businesses like Tapestry. But again, you know, for those of you who wanted to go up to Tapestry, it is safe to go up there. So go out, check them out. They probably need the business. So
just all the restaurants in general. I mean, there were a couple pieces that were on NPR this week that was talking about the fact that the restaurant business out there has been just floundering because of the crisis, and a lot of the restaurants have had their water tested. It's gone so far that it's like the health board certification sign. Right next to that is a sign that says that their water is clean. Wow. And they've been just trying to get business to come back and trust them to know that water out there is fine.
Kind of an unsung type of or portion of this whole situation. They're always talking about, the kids, which is a huge thing, but no one's out there talking about the businesses being affected by this.
And the businesses have already been affected by a lot of the flight from the loss of jobs up there.
Yeah, well, Flint's already destroyed before this, and now you've got businesses just trying to survive. And you've got people raising kids drinking lead, basically. I mean, I live in a I don't know, Robert, how old your house is. My house is like pre-World War II.
Mine
with how old it is,
as
full
well.
Of lead, paint, shit like that. But it's good enough. You know, there's no problem with the lead. I couldn't even imagine adding in, now we're drinking out of lead pipes or so much lead coming through. Mm-hmm. That's one situation. Then you have businesses closing down or losing business from the water. It's not even being talked about.
Yeah. Well, and you're talking, you know, in the beer industry, in the restaurant industry,
water.
Well, yeah, you're using water and everything. And the fact that restaurants, let alone a new restaurant, you know, half restaurants close within the first year.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
It's already tough enough. And then you throw this in there. You know, until we talked about this just now, it didn't even cross my mind. It's like, holy crap, that's got to be like burying anywhere you eat. You can't. People are like, I'm not going to eat there. I'm drinking lead water.
Right.
Or whatever is coming through
there. It's the first – pretty much when you walk into a restaurant, it's the first thing that shows up on the table is a glass of water.
Yeah.
And – that's the one thing you don't want is to be sitting there looking at that glass of water thinking to yourself, is this even safe to drink?
Yeah, it's really a scary situation where I can understand them needing to show what's going on, but God, how do you turn that around? I don't even
even tell you. Like,
I don't think that answer's been
like,
turned
around. It's like, wow.
I mean, you get the yeah, we really shouldn't.
Well, I mean, let's we got a brewer over here.
Hey,
you know,
what's up?
You know, Kuma. In regards to brewing beer, you know, how important is it in regards to testing the water? Because water can always not only change the taste of your beer.
Yeah.
You know, how important is it? You know, to test the water, to continuously look at the water in regards to what you're dealing with, because you don't know what the city's putting in, whether it's, you know, extra fluoride, extra anything else. You know, how do you manage to stay on top of that?
Well, I can say from my experience, It wasn't until maybe the last year or two that like myself and other brewers I was working with were even paying close attention to water chemistry. It has become the kind of thing within the industry that's just like you have to now. But for a while, it was just kind of like, yeah, just use whatever water comes out of the tap. But like I know over at Glasshouse, they installed a carbon filtration system to try to take out the chlorine, because apparently Ann Arbor water has a lot of chlorine in it, and chlorine is like the last thing you want to have in any of your beers. I don't know.
How do you filter so much water?
It's like just a carbon filter. Like they got a couple of big ass tanks that they're running all the water through, and then I'm using what comes out the other end. And I had someone do like a water analysis of what came straight out of our tap, so that I could kind of get an idea of, you know, what is in my water. Thankfully, you know, I didn't get any readings on lead. At least they didn't report any back to me. But it's super important. The water is important. Like there's some styles of beer that you're supposed to adjust the water to try to get them closer to the water that was traditionally available when you were brewing that style, depending on where that style came from. As far as lead goes in the water, I don't think
you're going to see too much lead in regards to your water, because obviously the lead that happened in Flint was due to a chemical makeup that they put into the water before they pushed it out into the water to the
– I think it was leached from the pipes.
Yeah.
It was a combination of the chemicals, and it allowed it to be leached from the pipes. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously – working in regards to beer, and I think I'm going to flip it over to Dan, because I know Dan does some home brewing too.
I do.
But in regards to water, you know, the water you grab from Ferndale, just as much as it's Ferndale, is going to be different from the water that, say, I grab from Detroit I grab from Troy. Do you think you're going to see a difference? Like, if you brewed your recipe where I live, do you think you would see a difference?
Not at all. Our water sources are all from the same where we're at. The whole thing with the Flint thing, they switch from Detroit to like the Flint River or whatever they have up there.
There's water treatment plants that do extra stuff
Between Detroit and Ferndale. And I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no.
Here in Detroit where you're at, there's no difference between the water. I'm trying to think what they did. They switched off the Detroit water?
They switched off Detroit to go to Ferndale, and then to make Ferndale's to make Flint's water source acceptable, they had to add some type of chemical to balance out whatever they were grabbing
and
from
the
Flint River.
And destroyed the
pulled the lead from the actual pipes, which then got into the water. And
what you bring up, though, it's interesting. I might want to try that, but I don't think there's any real difference. Well, I mean, we're not that far apart from where we're at. I mean, it's like a 15-minute drive, and water, like the whole distribution, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I think it's a fact, and I don't know if anybody is familiar. Nick might even be the most familiar in regards to you know, utilities, because you do work for at least DTE.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, each city has its own type of water treatment plant, because I know, like, the city of Troy has a water treatment plant where they add fluoride.
Well, the one in Troy, you're talking about the one that's that's DeQuinder Road and M59, that actually belongs to the city of Detroit.
Okay.
I think a lot of the cities around here actually have – I mean, obviously, we run off of Detroit water. A lot of us know that.
Pretty sure the whole area.
Yeah, the whole area is off of Detroit water. But I think there are a lot of – if you know, you drive around the Tri-County area, a lot of us – you know, there's a lot of treatment plants that belong to Detroit city water.
So they're spaced around then? Because I know there's one down at 8 and
there's
Van
one
Dyke.
There's one between 8 Van Dyke by the Bel Air Theater.
Yep.
There's the one that's the one that we just talked about, the one on DeQuinder Road
and Troy.
One in Troy.
We don't have a water department person here, but I'm assuming they're the same. I'm assuming everything, like various treatment plants, whatever goes through, is the same as the one at M59.
I would have to think so. Probably they might vary in size. The one that's on 8 Mile is pretty freaking big.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic. I never even thought about it until you just said it. Could it be different?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Jeff, go ahead.
I was going to say, does anyone know that even in Howell, they had tested for lead, actually, just recently?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's sad because, like, so I have a friend in Howell, and I should just send the story there, and it would suck. She has a baby, And then so she, of course, was concerned. I would be, too, after hearing about all these stories. And it's like, I don't know where that water's coming from, but it's just really random now. Now I feel like we should all just worry about
everyone's
water.
Thinking about it now because it happened in one spot. And, like, I mean, Detroit, how old are our pipes here? They got to be old.
Probably the same as Flint.
Yeah,
maybe a little
which
older.
Which makes you wonder just a little bit. Like, okay, so now our kids are drinking this.
Yeah, but again, as much as the lead is potentially in the pipes, it's the fact that the content in the water, the chemistry of the water is not pulling that lead off, which was the big issue in Flint, of course, because that was their objective was to save money, and obviously they're destroying families as well as businesses up there.
Snyder.
And that's the reason why we brought it up is you have multiple breweries up there, just as close as Flint. You have Fenton Winery and Brewery. You have again Tapestry. So make sure that you guys do support, because they do need your support. And this is definitely something, we're talking beer as a community and kind of rounding it up as we end. We talked about beer as a community. Mm. We talked about the beer that at Batch that has the charity work. We talked about was the Eagles of Death Metal beer that's being made in Canada that goes towards the families of the massacre out in Paris. So, we're talking about this community. And again, most of the people in the community are very, very good, very nice, very polite. The other people, well, we'll just leave it at that before they get mad at me. So it's definitely one of those things to where, this is something where, they're not going to come out and ask you for support, but you should go out and support them, especially.
You shouldn't have to ask.
Exactly.
Support,
this is something where, we do need to band together as beer lovers, as brewery lovers, go out, show our support. Help them because, for one, I love Tapestry. They're Mr. Orange, I believe, is one of their beers, and that's probably one of my favorite beers that they have from there.
Nice. I haven't had
I'm just
it.
Laughing at you eating the popcorn.
He's eating the Flaming Hot popcorn. It's like,
it's Chester's Flaming Hot popcorn.
So we got about 4 minutes left. What do we want to talk about?
Well, I guess,
are we still on Flint, or are we going to have a happy subject?
Let's lighten it up. Things about Kuma. How can they find Glass House?
You want to know like where online?
Facebook, sure. Twitter,
social media, physically,
all of those.
MySpace.
We have not yet established our MySpace page. As I understand,
you're behind
it,
the times.
That's the up and coming social media
times.
Network
so
these
what
days.
Doing?
No, our Facebook is Glasshouse Brewing of Ann Arbor. We don't have an Instagram yet, but I think there's one being established.
What about Snapchat?
Don't have a Snapchat.
What about Tinder? Are you on Tinder?
We have a Tinder profile, actually.
Wait.
I expect everyone here to swipe right.
Do you have a Thrinder yet?
What the shit is a Thrinder?
That's the threesome one.
Does
it actually exist?
There's a threesome one now.
Oh, that is amazing.
I'm learning new things. Are you on Thrinder?
We are not on Thrinder, sadly. I feel like we got to hop on that
right now. I want to have you on this.
Dang.
Let's see. Glasshousebrewing.com. Our website is not. We have a temporary website. While
look,
our
if
new
you want me to build
devoted.
Your website, it'll be ready in like 12 weeks.
12 weeks? No,
oh,
no.
That was kind of an inside joke.
You've taken longer than that,
yeah,
Dan.
I was going to say, it's like an inside joke.
You were supposed to remodel the website during Thanksgiving week.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm guessing.
You're
is
right.
That, is that,
what was that? Was that like 12 weeks ago? That was pretty,
about right.
Pretty close.
Am I looking at the right?
No one
Facebook
goes to the
you?
Website anyway.
Dude down in like Ohio who's got like his own like home brewing. Because
it says community, I will dislike it or unlike.
I was gonna say don't like that guy.
He already liked it. Like,
you can like
yours?
Him actually. I have no issue with that guy.
Oh no, I'm not saying you do. It's just it's not you. So
it is exactly. It's Glass House, one word of brewing of Ann Arbor. I think I got through the first two of six beers earlier on.
What else?
We got four more.
Do you have an IPA?
Yes, of course. That was the next one. It's 2016 in the craft brewing market. You can't not have an IPA.
Is it hoppy?
We will be adding hops to our hoppy beer. It turns out. But that one's going to be obviously an American IPA. So what did I get through before?
It's
English
Saison,
and then
what about
American
a brown
IPA.
Ale?
We do not have a brown ale yet. I actually have one planned. I'm really excited. I don't know if you guys have ever had it, but the Dogfish Head Palo Santo Marron.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite browns ever.
Oh, my God. That beer, I had it for the first time last year, and it blew my mind.
Clocking it at a cool, like, 11.5%.
Yeah, exactly. And that beer inspired me to make a similar beer. I'm going to see if I can. You know, that one, though, might not happen until later this year.
You could totally find me on MySpace.
You can find – wait.
That's where you can find me, on MySpace.
You know, I actually still have one.
You guys have a MySpace page for this podcast.
No. I actually just remembered my MySpace.
I'm gonna create one, though, tonight because we should.
I need to redo my top eight.
Oh, my God. I forgot.
We got to reset our background theme, the music that plays when you go to our site.
Exactly.
So, Jefferson, how can we find you real quick? Because we got about 40 seconds.
Just look for me on Facebook. My name on there is Jefferson Wilhelm Marchand, and that's MARCHAND.
Nice. There you go.
Definitely a fun guy to have, a great guy to talk to.
Absolutely.
We do appreciate you coming on out. We've been asking you to come on out for the last 4 months.
Sorry.
That's it? Just 4 months? It's how long it took you to get here.
It did take – I crawled here, actually.
Yeah, he lives right around the corner, too. So
he lives closer than I do. That doesn't even make sense really now.
Dan, you want to sign us off?
No, you're going to sign us off because I forget the thing.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here at the Better on Draft podcast. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft.
See, you did it better than I could.
I love you all.